This talk was given by Jody Hojin Kimball Sensei at the Zen Center of New York City. Hojin Sensei is the head priest and training coordinator at Zen Mountain Monastery and co-director of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation, please visit our website at zmm.mro.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
From Ursula Le Guin. Anger continued on past its usefulness becomes unjust, then dangerous. Nursed for its own sake, valued as an end in itself, it loses its goal. It fuels not positive activism, but regression, obsession, vengeance, self-righteousness. Corrosive, it feeds off itself, destroying its host in the process. What is the way to use anger to fuel something other than hurt? To direct it away from hatred, vengefulness, self-rightfulness, and make it serve creation and compassion. When wind blows through the bamboo grove, the trunks clatter against one another. When it has passed, the grove is quiet once more. So the Fusatsu, for those of you who are new, is a renewal of vows ceremony. It goes back to the time of the Buddha, when the Sangha to the Great Mother, Prajnaparamita. We are so powerful, but we need to make the right priorities and the right choices. And we can't just ask through the mind. The heart is the door to the universe, and we can ask it for what we need. So we begin with the Gatha of Atonement to address all our harmful actions, all evil karma, all harmful actions ever created by me since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. Now I atone, now I am at one with it all. So this greed, anger, and ignorance, it's good to just say, yes, I am. I am greedy, angry, and ignorant. Not in a down-putting way, but just to acknowledge what's true. And I wanted to speak tonight and look at practicing anger. And there's a ninth precept which goes, manifest harmony, do not be angry. Of course, there's a lot on this subject, and most of us have it, so we should be experts. When we begin sitting, most of us are immediately kind of relieved that we actually finally have a place to settle down and start to practice. We settle into quiet, and we kind of, in the beginning, kind of bliss out for a while. It feels so incredible to sit down and be still. Albeit difficult, we feel like, oh my God, like a big drink has just been taken. And after a while, perhaps, if we're really aware, we discover that we may be actually less comfortable than we were before. Somehow things we have buried or numbed start to surface. This is the point. This is getting conscious. And one of the things we might become aware of is actually how much anger is in us. How many angry thoughts we have. And I was reading about grief, And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who wrote about the stages of death, and it happens in grief as well. And she said, anger is a natural human emotion. It lasts only 15 seconds. Unfortunately, when the human ego is involved, anger tends to last far longer. And I remember reading Eckhart Tolle, and he talked about watching two ducks fight, and like they got in this little like squabble on the lake, and like in a few minutes they parted and they just sort of fluffed their, you know, feathers, and they were back to sort of swimming on this calm pond. But he said if you put a human brain into these ducks, they would fight and then they'd swim away and they would each still be going, yeah, but she should have said, you know, she could have done this. And look at the way she did that. And look at the way he, and then we go on and on and on. And our first reaction when we sit down and we feel these things coming up is, get out of here. I don't want this. I don't want to see this. It doesn't jive with our projections of ourself. Hey, you know, sugar and spice, everything nice. That's what I'm made of, right? And we live in a culture which doesn't tire of telling us to express our anger. It's not good for us to hold on and hold it in. Well, we can even get a disease if we hold our anger. And yet many of us also grew up in families where we learned it wasn't safe to express our anger. Not at all. We would not be loved, supported, or even acknowledged were we to do so. So we found ways to hide, to cover up our anger, and we became really good at it. Yet years later, this cover would be blown off whenever anything occurred that tapped into that hurt. We know this. It reminded me of when sometimes when I fire pots too quickly, you know, the water has to be driven out of the clay, and if you go too quickly, it explodes. It's trapped. The water gets trapped. So you have to be very careful, or it'll just, we call them little hand grenades. Sometimes people make heavy pots, and I'm like, oh my God, you made a little hand grenade in this kiln. Or we might flare up totally out of control, like a smoldering fire that has just had gasoline poured on it. When I was in high school, I got a betta fish. They're sometimes called samurai fish, warrior fish, and I named him Bruno. That was after the Fido, Bruno San Martino. And these fish like to live alone because they fight. They fight. They always want to fight. They can't stand anyone else in their tank, bowl. Usually they're in a little bowl. And the thing is, you can hold, they're beautiful. They're like, you can get them in reds and blues and purples. They're exquisite with these long fins, really beautiful fish. And you can hold a mirror up to their little bowl and they flare up. They get angry because they think somebody's in their bowl. And they get mad right away and they go into this posture. So I wanted to see how many times Bruno would keep flaring up. Like, how much could he do this? You know, I put the mirror and he would flare up. And I put the mirror and he would flare up. I started to do it more frequently. And eventually he couldn't do it. He was just like getting weaker and weaker. And I wondered, like, did he just like exhaust his anger juice, or did he see that the other was not harmful, wasn't going to do anything? But after a few days, he remained very limp and shaggy, and he died. He really liked this juice of the anger, and just like we may also feed off of the juiciness and the power of that energy of anger. So on some level, we want this. It's familiar, and it gives us a kind of false sense of power. Dada used to say, what would it be like if all the world leaders, with all their important political meetings and discussions and decisions that needed to be made about this planet, the people on it, these critical decisions, if they started with sitting, maybe a full week of sesshin, they sat down together in silence before anybody made any decisions, where everyone's arms stopped waving because you had to be still. It would be an extraordinary moment. Neruda wrote, for once on the face of the earth, let's not speak in any language. Let's stop for a second and not move our arms so much. It would be an exotic moment without rush, without engines. We would all be together in a sudden strangeness. So it may actually be after years of practice and attention that it becomes slowly easier to experience anger immediately and to see what is happening, what is setting this anger off, and skillfully learn from it. The question is how we can create a spacious container so that we can feel the anger without creating more angry karma. How can we ease our mind to the point that anger can arise and not be a discharge of resentment, rage, or revenge, but rather a set of sensations and feelings that we experience giving rise to nourishing and healing life. Taking a breath, sinking into that space of not knowing, not judging, we have to surrender to the feeling of anger. Being the anger completely is not knowing, not being caught up with the story of anger. That's a hard one. Watch how that feed goes in. But just to be in the not knowing, not caught up with the story of anger, because really, that's a distraction. That is a distraction. If we want to just feel it, can we sit with the experience of anger and its raw, powerful energy, experiencing the pacing pulse, the pounding heart, the tingling skin, the sweaty lip, while everything else feels moist and cool, hot energy as it courses through us? If we can do this, we're not cutting it off, and we're not repressing it, but rather experiencing it with total awareness, allowing it full play. And does it play? The trick is, let go of the plot. The thing that says, this is a very juicy plot with a fantastic drama, lines like Shakespeare, I've been wronged. How dare they? Is this a dagger I see before me? Out, damn spot, out, I say. Settle instead into the pure experience of the feeling and how powerful it is. And if, as I study my own anger, usually I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Afraid and needing protection, which means some kind of armor or fortress needs to be built. There may be fear that if we allow ourselves to truly fill up with anger, it will take us over and we will do or say something that we will regret later. We'll fail. And we can come back. Sometimes. One moment of anger, like fired like a missile sometimes, can like destroy so much work that we've done. We know this. On the cushion, there's more of an opportunity to safely experiment with this, to observe ourselves fill up with this energy, feel it, and watch it disappear just as suddenly as it appears. It sounds really weird, doesn't it? Truly being anger, being the anger, like how we work with the pain to be the pain, let it fill you as you feel the sensation, get below the plot. Don't call it my leg, my back, my pain, just strong sensation, my anger. Observe ourselves fill up with this energy, feel it, and watch it just disappear just as suddenly as it appeared. And this is mindfulness in action, which is very much about being in the middle of experience without identifying with it. Being in the very middle of experience without identifying with it. We bring a quality of attention that is non-judging, yet completely connected, participatory. We don't add anything extra, but we're right there in it. We participate fully in mindfulness of body, feeling, mind objects, rather than studying them. We participate. I like Thich Nhat Hanh's description of this. He says, this means that you live in the body in full awareness of it and not just study it like a separate object. This is a liberating and empowering feeling. Whether it's dealing with minor squalls of irritation and impatience that get us daily. Like the other day I was in the post office and someone came in, it was a long line, and somebody came in and went right in front. You know, I could feel the temperature rising because I had already been there for so long, patiently waiting. Or when we're hit with a larger storm, it's like when our bicycle or our car is stolen, or anything we love is missing or stolen, or we don't get the promotion. It's the same practice. Letting go of the drama and observing and noticing our bodily reactions as the organism prepares for fight out of a very prehistoric survival instinct. That was Bruno, preparing for fight. And we do the same. It's so prehistoric. It's for survival. But we're in the post office. It's not a saber-toothed tiger. And this letting go of the drama. You see, the drama is all the juice. It's the thing we want to keep retelling. And the true abstaining from anger becomes a teaching for us. Disturbances, harmful situations, and challenging people can all be assistance in deepening the walk of life. That's so hard to... When I wrote that, I was just like, oh, really? Assistance? But it's true. We are assisted. It's like a strange outfit for a bodhisattva. It's us. Many expect all Buddhists to be nice or something along those lines. Some of us may enter a temple or practice center hoping to become as nice as they think all of us are. We may think, if I can only get rid of my rage, life would be good and everyone would love me because I'm so nice. Of course, this thought is as undergrounded as it sounds. We enter Buddhist path as human beings, and we walk on it as human beings. We are guaranteed to feel fully all of the emotions of a human being, guaranteed. And then take up Zazen. It's all Zazen's fault, because we start to notice what we're doing. What the path assists us in doing is seeing the root of the emotion in the midst of its occurrence, so that the response is not more pain and suffering. We learn to question, what is going on here? And that's great. As soon as we get to wonder, a question, that's a home zone. That's an I don't know. That's a place that we can enter. That's a way to use anger to fuel something other than hurt, to direct it away from hatred, vengefulness, self-righteousness, and make it serve creation and compassion. We begin the healing process having glimpsed wholeness, something that we have always been. We're never broken, never broken. And then we chant Namu, Namu, be one with. So after we atone, and then we chant these Namu, be one with, Shakyamuni Buddha, Samantabhadra, Avalokiteshvara, Maitreya, successive ancestors. That's, we enter a frequency of our greatest good, of our complete loving capacity. We become one with who we truly are. So Namu, be one with, Namu, Shakyamuni, Namu, Avalokiteshvara, Namu, Samantabhadra. And so it's like turning the dial, because these other aspects of ourself exist simultaneously, and that's the ruts we fall into. We're on, I start to see it as like we've mistaken, you know how the God channel comes in really clear on the radio? Like you can go through all these stations and then you hear like something like a sermon on Jesus and it's like perfect. And sometimes we have our frequencies tuned in at levels that's not our full capacity. So we need this reminder to be one with these aspects of ourself, being one with the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. And then the last part of the ceremony, which we'll step into, is being one with the Buddha, with all sentient beings, raise the Bodhi mind. raise that vibration. And that vibration has such an effect on this world. Being one with the Dharma, penetrate all sutras. Be the living sutra. Open this sutra. This is the gatha. This is the sutra we have to look at. This is the sutra that needs the readout. And then by taking that very action, that is the awakened mind. That's when Dobin says practice is enlightenment. That is the awakened mind in action. Be one with the Dharma. Penetrate all sutras. Be one with the Sangha. Let harmony pervade everywhere. Recognize the interdependence, the interconnectedness between all things. We are not separate. And create harmony in that vibration. In these last months, I have witnessed and taken part in deep healing in contexts where we might find righteous wrath. So easy to go there. We were sometimes in the group at a precipice of a threshold of everyone just pulsing, working those sensations of anger and righteousness and releasing, because we had working agreements on how to work together, and just feeling our own taking pauses, breaks, coming back, opening again. That is how we transform that energy, the potential of that energy. Can we imagine a speaking out, an assertion of rights and nurturing of others that does not come from our personal ego-based anger? How would that anger look? A selfless energy that heals. Is that even anger at all? In brief, I was going to offer a practice that I was recommended to me to do for an entire day. I'll offer it to you. Take one entire day and devote it to non-expression of anger. From the moment you wake up in the morning until you go to sleep at night, you hold the firm intention not to express anger when it arises, either externally in words or actions, or internally through your thoughts. This does not mean that anger should not arise. What it means is that when it does arise, your practice will be to refrain from expressing it in any way, thereby enabling you to feel the physical energy of anger directly. This exercise is not easy. First, we have to remember to do it. And once we remember, we have to confront the deeply ingrained habit of indulging our anger whenever it arises. This can be particularly difficult when the anger is strong, when we really want to hold on to the defensive strategies of blaming and self-justifying to avoid feeling the pain underneath. But at the very least, we get to see our anger in a new way. We begin to see anger just as it arises, thereby seeing into its roots. And when we see it right as it arises, we learn how it is rooted in fear. We also begin to experience the transformative process that goes to the very heart of practice. Until we learn to refrain from expressing anger and instead experience it, thus transforming the energy of anger, we will keep wondering why the life force necessary to awaken eludes us. This is not a conceptual process. No amount of thinking will allow us to understand what is at work here. The only way to verify the truth of this transformative process is to stop the habitual mode of expressing and justifying anger whenever it arises. This is crucial if we are to wake up. When the wind blows through the bamboo grove, the trunks clatter against one another. When it is past, the grove is once more quiet.
Thanks so much for listening. To find out more about the monastery's programs, weekend retreats, and residency, please visit our website at cmm.mro.org.